KQED.
In the spring of 1975, the North Vietnamese took control of Saigon, and the U.S. began frantically evacuating tens of thousands of South Vietnamese. Overnight, Pendleton transformed into a makeshift refugee camp.
And the increasing tempo of evacuation in the face of a rapidly deteriorating situation.
We didn't know if we were going to keep up with the people coming in or not.
The Marines had 36 hours to set up tents, toilets, and showers before refugees started arriving.
There was approximately 2,980 tents, and there was approximately 50,000 people here.
That first wave included two teenage sisters, Evelyn and Jessica Kao. They hadn't been back to the base in 42 years. We meet up for a tour with another former refugee, Philip Nguyen. He's now an engineer here at Camp Pendleton.
I don't know if you can remember.
What camp were you in when you were here? And
Camp 5.
Oh, me too.
Really?
We were in Camp 5 too.
Jessica and Evelyn came from a well-to-do family in Saigon. They spoke French, wore fashionable dresses, barrettes in their hair. They were sheltered teenagers. Their mother hardly let them out of her sight. So coming to Camp Pendleton felt like an adventure.
It looked pretty to me. I never camped before, so it was kind of like camping. I'm sure my mom was not happy, but for me, it was fun.
They used scratchy army blankets to keep warm, shared a tent with two other families. They remember long lines for food, except on the days hot dogs were served. It took the Marines a while to figure out what the refugees would eat. Evelyn recalls undercooked rice and no fish sauce.
There was one Marine guy. I think he served in Vietnam, and then he learned how to eat fish sauce. So in a way for him to connect with the refugees, he would walk around in his pocket with this little fish sauce. And then whenever he wanted to, like, maybe flirt with, you know, some young lady or, you know, being friendly with the kids, he would pull out, "I got the fish sauce," and even say it in Vietnamese, "I have nước mắm."
There's a lot of nervous laughter as these two women, now in their 50s, remember being vulnerable teenagers starting over in a new country. But for all their funny stories, they also recall the pain of watching adults in the camp traumatized by the war.
There was a woman, she saved the rice, and she would dry the rice out outside of her tent. Because we went through the war, and so always worry about not having food.
The base is dusty and hot. Helicopters hover above us, and Marines in fatigues walk past metal Quonset huts. It's hard to tell there was once a refugee camp here. But one Marine we meet on base remembers it well. Michael Duran helped maintain the camp during the war. He was also in Saigon, helping refugees onto helicopters back in 1975.
We left 1 week before Saigon fell. Yes.
If you get out before the fall of Saigon, you get out ahead of the rush. Because I was there for the rush. I mean, it was still a war going on. We were still being assaulted. So just packing them into the helicopter was our main concern. We wasn't thinking about how many can get in, just get them in.
What do you do with these people who want out? Refugees who have had enough of the enemy from within.
The Marine Corps created a training film to guide the effort.
Your job when you encounter them? Where possible, to take care of these refugees. To bring them to a place where they can be safe, where they can learn to believe in life again.
If this is truly Camp 5, then I'm pretty sure that we're just right over here around this bend. Because I remember that's where our tent was, and that's where I play hopscotch every day in front of the tent.
We finally reach Camp 5, one of eight clusters of tents on the northern part of the base. Today, it's just a dry meadow at the bottom of a steep hill. The group gathers in the shade of a massive oak tree. Philip Nguyen, the other former refugee, and Michael Duran, the Marine, look over Evelyn's shoulder as she leafs through a scrapbook. Photographs and letters as thin as onion skin, carefully pasted to the pages.
And you guys, these letters that your father wrote? I see Camp Pendleton on Red Cross stationery.
This was when my sister got here
What do you think? How do you feel standing here again?
This is truly a land of opportunity, but I think this country is very paradoxical country. Like, we would create war with everybody, but then we also help people the most. But I am grateful for my experience, you know, for being evacuated to this country.
And for Jessica, coming here meant living a life of her own creation.
I felt bad that the war had to end with us losing. But in the meantime, I couldn't wait to get out of the country because that was always my dream. I did not like being submissive. They call me tomboy. Here they would call me a feminist. But I did not like the culture there. So when I got here, yes, I did have cultural shock, but I accepted it. And without the war, I don't think I would be able to come here.
The Keo family stayed at Camp Pendleton for about a month. They left when a San Diego family agreed to sponsor them. They've made their home here. Evelyn became a school guidance counselor, Jessica, a first grade teacher.
Michael, how do you feel when you hear these guys' stories, knowing that you helped this group of refugees get out?
I'm elated. Mm-hmm. I mean, they came over here and they made the best of the best. They had an attitude of, I have an opportunity to do something, I'm going to do something. And they did. And they started a great career, a career that helps others, just like they were helped. So they're paying it forward now.